This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust, and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
My people, my friends, welcome to Bingetown TV. Today is a huge day for us. We were so lucky to have Shelby Flannery on the podcast, a.k.a. fan favorite Hope Dioza. She is such a cool, beautiful human, and you're going to love getting to know her just as much as we did. Enjoy the app, people.
Let's go.
You are a rock star this season, Shelby. Hell yeah. We had the opportunity to talk to you.
Are you guys all in your own, like, separate location?
Us three are in the same room.
Yeah. And then I'm at school in South Carolina.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And we're outside of Philly.
And I'm in Minneapolis, just for context.
Nice. Is that where you've been the whole pandemic?
Yeah, I'm out of here in a couple of weeks, but this is home. This is quarantine. This is life right now.
So this is your first big gig out of school. And obviously Hope is fucking an incredible character. Like one of the best, probably one of my favorites of the whole series. What's it like being in this pandemic, having to live through this hype? Normally 100 has so many cons, like conventions,
know, right?
All this stuff that normally you'd be able, that's kind of a bummer. So how's it been?
It's kind of, it's both a bummer and a blessing because I can enjoy it from the comfort of my own home and kind of like it not be as overwhelming as it could have been. I love interacting with the fans and whatnot. And so I can't wait till that starts opening, like conventions start happening again. I'll definitely jump on that, but it's a nice, like slow burn, if that makes sense. Cause you know, I mean, I'm sure you guys would understand. Imagine all that attention all at once. It's like, a human who's alive and you're going to feel anxious about it. You know, it's a lot. It's beautiful, but, and it would have been great to do all that, but it's kind of nice just to take it easy for a little bit.
Yeah. The 100 has such an intense fan base, like very, very intense.
Intense is a good way to describe it.
So I wanted to ask just how was it joining such a 90% completed story in the seventh season and just being such a main character? How have the fans been reacting? Like, how's that been for you?
I mean, I got lucky because she was set up in a way where it's hard not to love her. I mean, she's got Dioza as a mother and Octavia is like a second mother. And so I think the fans were lubricated enough with her knowing that. But I got super lucky because I got to read and experience her backstory like pretty early on. And so I was able to like really fully fledge this person out without, creating too much with my imagination, which is what you would have done anyways, right? But I got to like dive in pretty quickly. And just like most characters on the show, you don't know really if you're gonna keep surviving. And so every script I'm getting, I'm like, so I was contracted for like 7 episodes, I think. But I guess they just liked what was happening on screen. And so, I kept getting written in and that was a blessing. I was constantly crossing my fingers. It was a trip for so many different reasons, just wild experience.
Well, it's kind of a rare thing because you hop into the show as an adult, but then right in season 2 or episode 2, The Garden, we get your full backstory as well, like kid version of you. So even though it was only one full episode of your backstory, I felt like you were on all 7 seasons. I'm like, I fucking love this character. Aww. I was obsessed. Well,
damn,
it's like
I love
the Bardo storyline almost felt like not even the same show. And every time we would flash to Sanctum, I'd be like, no, get back to Bardo.
Yeah.
Like Bardo penance, whatever. But the penance stuff, like all the insane time dilation and all that stuff was so fucking cool. It was hard not to be like, this is the best storyline, these characters, especially
it was special.
Characters you wouldn't normally think were going to be your favorites, and now all of a sudden
I didn't expect any of that. I didn't expect anything really, but like being in that whole world and being able to be a part of a show that's heavily action based, obviously, and that's why we love it, but really being in a storyline that was so character and relationship based it allowed me to like come in at a pace that I really wasn't expecting, and to really develop the character in such a rich way. And relationships, you know, Dev, Echo, Gabriel, Orlando even. I mean, what a beautiful storyline with him, that like, who would have thought that was going to come out in season 7?
I can't stop making the joke that Orlando's got to fucking come back.
Yeah, we never saw him.
they never showed his face. Yeah, exactly.
I just rewatched Hesperides. I can always fuck up that word. Can I say fuck?
Hesperides, I think. Yeah, Hesperides, I had to Google it.
You can definitely say fuck.
Okay, yeah. Wait. I just rewatched that episode, and yeah, I mean, he was also just as an actor, such a lovely man. That was a really fun one to shoot. Yeah.
That's a very interesting episode, because you start off that episode with Gabriel and Echo on penance, and then we get this huge time skip where we're going to, including Orlando as well, then we get this huge time skip. What is it? Is it 5 full years?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I all of a sudden have a pixie blonde.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah,
how did you guys prepare and start acting like your relationship had to have grown 5 years? Because that's a huge difference from what your hope would have been before and after.
That's a really good question. And it's a challenge as an actor always when time is in the mix, right? Especially on TV, when it's literally a split second, you see a jump in years. I mean, luckily for me, it was a relationship that was building off screen with Chuku and Toss especially. We were filming all the time together, and you know, I was a newcomer, and so Toss and I carpooled, and she would give me the lay down and just kind of the lingo of being on screen, what it means to find your light, yada yada. And so we just became sisters pretty early on, and I mean, we would just be in stitches, the three of us, and then you know, just with the crew and everything. Just the relationship off screen definitely, I feel like, helped it on screen. Because it was just like, okay, we can just joke around. And honestly, there was a lot of ad-libbing and improvising, which, you know, you might not know that, but some of it was not scripted.
Oh, we love that. That's great.
Yeah. That whole thing, I love to hear all that. Yeah. It showed on screen. You three were like the best. I was like, I could watch these three in a spinoff. Give me a spinoff series.
Okay, cool. Yeah. For real.
I mean, that's a lot of pressure too, because they put a lot on you guys, especially you with being a newcomer. It's the last season of a 7-season series, and you guys all killed it, as people like Kathleen said, that were, you know, only around, especially you, for one season. Even early in the season, it seemed like you've been around for 7 seasons. Like, it seems like you're a veteran to the show.
Hell yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. And the point you had made, how about the show is like really focused on character relationships, and we've been with a lot of these characters for 7 seasons, 7 years, you know, with Clark, Bellamy, all these people.
Yeah.
And yeah, for you to come in for just one season and already shooting up, you know, Kathleen saying that you're her favorite character almost, and us feeling like we've been through the entire journey with you, was definitely really special. Not what I expected.
My heart is like doing things right now. Like, obviously, you know, you're an actor and you have to like put it aside what you hope the audience, how they will respond to your character. It can't, you know, get too much in the way of what you're doing. It's like, you know, she might not be liked. I can't control the outcome, whatever. But of course this fandom is so strong and robust. So there's always that worry of, will I be, I guess, accepted, you know, that's always there. So it's really nice to hear that. I appreciate it.
You were talking about kind of getting in the mindset of time dilation, or like the time jumps or whatever.
Yeah.
But Hope, we joke, make a joke. Like every time Hope does something kind of crazy, we're like, she only knows 4 people.
Thank you.
Was that something you kept in mind, where you're like, like maybe you and Shannon Cook like could compare, say the
notes,
same,
yeah,
like compare, yeah, notes, yeah, being like, yeah, our characters shouldn't really be able to have any sort of conversations, normal social.
No doubt. I mean, her life was so isolated from the rest of, I guess, the universe. So yeah, she was a little bit inept in her, but you know what, I take it as like those 5 years was another great blessing, was like she, like with Gabriel and Echo, that was a huge socializing experience for her. She got to be in contact with people that she actually, you know, were friends with. She chose them as friends. So yeah, that was, you know, just developing all of that was a challenge, but you can definitely see it in, what episode was it? The, is it called Welcome to Bardo, when they're learning how to be disciples? Mm-hmm. You can really see how she just struggles with how to express her emotions, and she's holding on to a lot of grief that, you know, she's showing in her own way, and she's stubborn as hell. And you can see in that episode how much of, I guess, a child she still is. And even though she's 25, she's really at heart like a little girl. She's not really a little girl, but she's not a woman yet. And it's just like, adulthood is a very awkward fit on her, like me. So that's, I can relate.
Like everybody.
Like, right? At times, it was definitely frustrating sometimes watching Hope make decisions.
Mm-hmm. Me
but
too.
Like Kathleen said, yeah. Like Kathleen said, we had to constantly remind ourselves that she only knows like four people.
Poor girl.
That's why the Hesperides episode, when it's you, Echo, and Gabriel, and you're laid up by like the fire, and yeah. I think it's so some, either Gabriel says like good night, and then people say good night back to each other. I know Kathleen loves that scene. We all love that scene.
Good
it was like
Amanda.
Such a sweet moment.
Yeah, it is a sweet moment. It's and just freezing as fuck to film, but
I do want to piggyback off that real quick though, because you said that you mentioned Hope and like her relationships with other people, and we really got this highlighted in two episodes ago, which I forget the name of it off the top of my head, but it was Gabriel's death scene, and he calls out specifically to Hope and like calls her over and like looks her right in the eyes. Yeah, my friend. That was so sad, because Gabriel's personally one of my favorite characters, and watch him interact with Hope like that, because Hope became one of Gabriel's closest friends in the universe.
That scene
was just awesome, and it just goes to show you what Hope's been through.
That's true, and you kind of forget, because there's so much of the season that plays, and there's been so many breaks, and it's a long season. So you almost you take for granted or forget the relationship that they have built, and that's still absolutely present. And then that moment, we're all reminded, me included, because obviously it's been a long time. But watching it, I'm like, oh, they have such a bond that's not only a friendship, but yeah, it's one of Hope's first ever.
Yeah. Yeah, they become family. And I watched The Garden today, episode 2, and the banter between you guys is so good. It's really funny. Like you saying the Bellamy line, like, what is it about Bellamy and otherwise sensible women, like whatever it is.
Willing to die for him. Yeah.
Yes, so savage. And like, there's so many good lines, but I was laughing because I'm watching episode 2, and that's at the end where the Bardo people take Dioza and Octavia. I'm like, the Dioza really, and I love the Octavia, you fool, there is no hope. Like,
yeah,
so good.
Yeah.
But I was like, did they really think like leaving her there alone on a planet was better than just like being like, let's take a chance and bring her with us?
Yeah.
I know, like, right?
That's honestly insane. But I'm glad, because the opener of Hesperides with Young Hope and Dev leading into you and Dev is so good.
Oh yeah.
Oh, nice.
That felt like a different show, mm-hmm. because that was like sweet. It was like the cold open, and it was like had the sweet music, and it was really
that
devastating.
Montage?
Yeah.
That was fun for me, because there was like three little me's running around. Nevis, especially, she plays the 11 year old, maybe 10 in the show, but she's 11 IRL. But she was just, she reminded me so much of me as a little girl, just this firecracker, just like running around on set, giving everyone gifts, singing songs. And you know, I would come even when I wasn't working, just to kind of support and watch her, and so she could feel, you know, the person that she was portraying. And I could see where I'm coming from too, you know, in order to keep like a consistency throughout. But yeah, that was really fun to watch, just her personality come alive on screen.
Hope is not only an amazing standalone character, but she was an essential part of Octavia's character arc, mm-hmm. which we were so even in the, we did an episode leading up to the series before or season, and we were like, Octavia's redemption arc, like, we don't know if she can fulfill it, like whatever. And it was so cool to watch, and just you and Dioza, like the three of you on screen together, these like badass women, was just so fun to watch.
Thanks. And that's a good point. That's a good point about her redemption. It's like, how can this possibly happen? And you don't know. It's like, obviously of course there needs to be some kind of outside force of love, and it only makes sense that there's literally new life, you know, that gives her a reminder of what life and love is all about. That's all I have to say about
that. Wow, that was well said.
Yeah, and I do want to talk about Dioza a little bit, because Shelby, I'm a little disappointed in you. I mean,
I don't write this shit.
Yeah, but what did you think when you got that script and you saw that you were killing a fan favorite? I feel like there's some natural backlash that's going to come.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's a mixed bag. Obviously not happy about it or anything, but just, oh, fun. Something really extreme and dramatic. As an actor, I'm like, ooh, yay. But I didn't want Ivana to be out of the picture because I love her so much. But it makes sense because she has a child and she, you know, she needed to go do her thing and her responsibilities. But we became so close. Like, she and I actually had this mother-daughter bond. I really have no other way to describe it. She is the most open-hearted being I have, maybe one that I've ever met. And the one first day, I gave her an email, you know, I'm like, hey, you're my mom. I didn't know what I was going to receive. I was like, you know, do you want to maybe talk some stuff over? Like, well, and she just gave me like the most heartwarming thing back. And we met right away once she was in Vancouver again. I'm in her hotel room with her baby and her husband. And then I meet her parents. Like, she's just like, she takes me in, right? She's this mentor to me right away. Sorry, long story short. It was hard to say goodbye to her, no doubt. But it was full circle for her. And and we had talked about that, her whole journey on there, and what this death means and how she's going and how that's important for her to leave it in that way, and why she's on the show, what brought her there. So it, you know, as an actor, it never really felt wrong. Obviously watching it, it's like, oh shit, that's horrifying and poor Hope, you know?
I remember when that happened. At the end of that episode, we were recording and we were like, what is this going to do to Hope? We are scared. Like, I know. Sweet girl.
Thank God for Jordan, though.
Yeah.
I feel like she would have just cracked. Like,
that was one of my favorite scenes. The one you two were in the beds next to each other. That was incredible. Both of you.
Thank you. So
amazing.
I thought it was absolutely smart of the writers to put that in there, because it was the sort of redemption that Hope was not expecting. And when, I don't remember the exact line, when Jordan said something like, she was trying to save your soul. Mm-hmm. And those exact words like reverberated through her. And I'm glad they edited it the way they did, because, you know, they picked a moment where you can really see it on Hope's face, where those words just landed and cracked her open. And she realized so much of how she's been running away from her truth and living out anger, you know, and grief, and allowing that to affect her in a way that isn't, you know, true to her nature. So I thought that moment really exasperated that.
Hope really opened that up. An easy journey.
No, not at all.
who does on the 100?
Yeah, right.
Well, when you were
but you're right.
The season 6 finale, could you have ever imagined what was coming?
No, so, but yeah, you're right, especially at the end of season 6. I mean, even Jason didn't know. Like, no one knew where Hope was going. And we were kind of trying to keep it ambiguous, you know, with the costume and everything and the writing. Like, you could tell, like, you know, he was saying things to me. He's like, if you have any ideas, you know, throw them at me. And I'm like, what is this?
What do you mean?
But yeah, no, I would never have expected in a million years for it to end the way it did.
At the point when you signed on for that finale for season 6, was there any indication at the time already that there was the next season was going to be the final season? Did we already know at that time?
There was hope from Jason. Jason really wanted to end it on 100 episodes. And the thing with network TV, it's like they can stop you whenever they want, and they can say, no, you're continuing because you're making money, whatever it is. And so there's no one's ever going to say anything for sure. And a lot of people will be like, okay, we'll see you next season. I mean, maybe not, but we'll see you. Like, we'll see you. You know, everyone kind of assumed. But as for it being the last season, that was speculation. But, you know, I didn't know anything for sure.
As soon as you came on screen, I was like, that's my Halloween costume. I loved the hair and everything. Like, I loved it. It was so good.
The poof.
Yeah, the bump it and the Princess Leia buns.
It looked way better on screen than I thought it would.
Were you like, this is fucking insane when they did it in the chair?
Yeah.
Wait, how long does it take for the wig?
Well, it got less and less as... So Lauren, our hair person, she was trying this like new way of wigging someone because it was so short where you could sometimes see through and see the wig cap, yada, yada. And so she was experimenting in a lot of ways in order to make it more seamless. So it started off like 2 hours, maybe even more. But it got less and less. It became probably less than an hour by the end of the season.
It's definitely an interesting choice because they did it with you and Echo, but nobody else.
What would they have done with Gabriel though? Like made him completely gray, like in one spot. Like
it was a two though.
Well, they cut their hair on Skyring, right? At first.
No. Oh wait. Oh.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why.
And you saw Orlando. He was very groomed after 5 years. Like a little more civilized.
Oh yeah, I guess so. I wasn't thinking about it that way.
I'm just imagining us like playing hair salon with each other in those 5 years.
So I do want to ask you a show specific question about, just as a fan, like what do you think, how do you feel about Bill the Shepherd being the big bad? How do you feel about him and what he's been doing this season? Because I love him. Bean stealer right now.
It's not a straight answer with him. I feel like he's a villain that it's complicated because, you know, he's driven by a lot of the same things that we are, and he's just really not self-aware about it. You know, he kind of fronts this whole thing about for all mankind, and he believes that he's doing things for the right reasons, even though, you know, you can tell there's a lot of selfishness going on, but he's denying that. And so I feel like we can relate to that. And at the same time, there's a good argument, which is, well, look at the other side of things. Look at how much destruction there has been and all of this killing in order to save your people. And there's no right answer. And that's what I love how this season is going out, is like, there's not a clear definitive right and wrong. Not that the show has ever really done that, but I think this season is really encapsulating that well. bad to the bone.
I like that you say, like how you talk about Bill, because there's been multiple times this season where we've all talked about like, he's kind of got a point.
Right?
Like, I don't like him, but he's kind of making a good point here.
And that flips it on the audience, too. It's like, what is it in me that sees the truth in this? And who would I believe? And what kind of demigod would I give my will to? You know, those are the questions that I think this stuff's presenting.
Gabriel would be my demigod.
Yeah, fair enough.
Up until this last episode, I would say Bill was like on the line, because it's like everyone's the protagonist of their own story, whatever it is. But this last episode, he became the real villain. Like he's officially the villain after what he did to Maddie, left her behind. He was like,
oh yeah, that was
single-minded,
gruesome.
And yeah, it was really fucking gruesome. It was brutal to watch. Great acting by Lola, but
yeah,
and Eliza. Probably everyone. Eliza killed it too.
Yeah, that was a great episode.
Yeah, I forget like what happens because, you know, of course I read the whole scripts, but if you're reading it, you're reading a film script or a TV script, it's like, it's not easy to imagine what it will be. And I kind of forget what's going on in the show. And so seeing it, I feel like I'm realizing things for the first time that you guys are probably realizing. And man, that episode was a doozy.
It's interesting as non-actors, I don't think about actors reading a script and kind of interpreting it in their own way, and one actor reading the same script could portray it a completely different way. I never think about that. Jason.
Yeah, I mean, just like a novel. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's amazing.
And there's so many blanks. The thing is with film and TV, it's not like theater, which I really have a background in, where they really say how they feel. You say it all for the most part, and then on TV and film, it's like more like real life, where you kind of, a lot of it is in between the lines. A lot of it is not said, and you read it on the face. So a script is very bare bones. So interpretation is usually pretty wide.
So you came in at the end of season 6 and you had your quick scene. What was it like to have that time jump in? It's your first real job out of school, I'm guessing. And then you have to wait an entire year to know what's going to happen next or what you're going to be doing next as an actress for your character. Yeah.
I mean, I was like, if I'm going to be completely honest, I was so, so nervous. Like, I was just, all of it was overwhelming. Like the seeing people that I've seen on TV in front of my face, like all these mega sets also that I've seen on TV, and just the hair and makeup. And I was, okay, think about it. Like I came in at the end of the season. Mm-hmm. So it's not like early on, it's a little more relaxed. Like they are like balls to the wall. Like there's night shoots, like up until the morning, everyone's just kind of scrambling in a lot of different ways. So, you know, my tension was already high, but it kind of matched the tension that was already there. And, you know, I really performed my best in that one, in that scene because of those nerves, but at the same time, having the months and months to reflect and get ready for the new season was a blessing, because I could, you know, just reflect and why am I an actor? What am I doing? Just kind of self-soothe and self-talk. And yeah, seventh season was a completely different experience.
Yeah. Well, you definitely caught our attention with your scene. I mean, it was one of the craziest cliffhangers ever, you know, to have that end of season six be like, oh, there, that's hope. There's, and then it's like, oh, let's wait another year and find out some more, you know?
Crazy. Yeah. And I stab Octavia, like, and you don't get it.
And I was still like, I love her.
Is she good?
Yeah. Right. Halloween costume.
Yeah. Is she good? Is she bad? I don't know. Kathleen's like, I love
you her. Were doing her for Halloween. Will you please send me a photo?
I will. On the New York Comic Con or San Diego Comic Con panel, they talk about that day and how it was kind of a hellish day. Like, that seemed like, it's so funny because that is a quick scene. You would think it wouldn't take, would they say like 17, 20 hours or something like that for that?
It didn't take 20 hours. It the day was that long. And so they said we were going to start filming, I don't know, like 6 p.m. or something, just around then. And we didn't start shooting till 8:30 in the morning. So, yeah. So I like got a full night's sleep, had to redo everything like in my trailer, like just, yeah. So it didn't take that long. I mean, it probably took, I don't know, 2 or 3 hours to actually get done, because, you know, they have to turn around, do all the shots. It's not as quick as it seems on TV, but yeah, it was wild.
Well, speaking of that panel, I loved the bit where Jason kind of gives you and Tasya props because things changed at the last second and you guys really like carried full episodes on your back. I mean, just the beginning, I said it on our Jason episode. I was like, when I think back on this season, on the last season of The 100, I will always think about the pennant scenes and the Bardo scenes. And it's just like incredible. And no matter what it was supposed to be before anything happened, I'm so glad it's how it did happen, because I love that stuff. I rewatched the beginning of the season today and I was like texting the group, so annoying. I was like, because like you said, it was what? 20 weeks ago when it aired, like I kind of forgot that too, because Hope's in a completely different place now. Mm-hmm. But I'm going back and watching, and I'm like, oh my fucking God, this is great.
The journey.
Yeah. It's the climb, baby.
I'm so glad you enjoy it, because yeah, it was like such a treat to do. And you're right, it was going to be something not completely different, but different enough where when I found out in a few days when we were going to film that it was a total rewrite, it was enough of a change where I had a mini freak out.
Well, but you know, I'm sure, because again, you're preparing for months or whatever, and then all of a sudden they're like, all right, let's change it up on you, don't worry about what we just said, you know.
Yeah, plot twist, literally. Yeah.
I think we can all agree that we were shocked when we learned it was your first like gig out of school. I mean, that amazing.
Thanks. Thank you. Yeah,
it might even be documented on one of the early podcast episodes.
Oh, yeah. I think if you listen to the early ones, we are like fangirling hard. And by we, I mean all of us, but mostly me. Yeah.
Well, it's funny how we usually would set up like how the story was on the two different settings in the beginning of the season. And we'd always basically start talking about the Sanctum stuff. It was like, we'll get that stuff out of the way so we can get into the stuff we really want to talk about, which is Hope, Echo, and Gabriel.
Which is Jellyfish Nation.
Peanut butter and jellyfish.
It was rice noodles, by the way.
Oh, is that really? What it is? Delicious. Yeah. It wasn't actually jellyfish. All right, let's get into the Jordan stuff.
We must.
Is Jordan and Hope endgame? Are they going to be the next Monty and Harper?
Tell you. But like,
she's good.
We're hoping we get a little slip from since your first job, maybe.
I'm going to get a call from Warner Brothers later.
Nah, they don't listen to our stuff, don't worry.
Yeah.
Truly. They find a way. Believe me, they find a way.
Honestly, that would be good for us. No offense.
But yeah, I'm not complaining.
I mean, the Jordan and Hope stuff is funny. I don't know, and I can't remember exactly what we talked about early in the seasons, but that was something that I had no idea we wanted or needed. Like, you know, it makes so much sense now, but I don't think any of us theorized, like, oh, maybe Hope and, I mean, I guess because you guys are so, like, it was Sanctum. And it was, well, where the hell was Jordan? He was all over the place.
I know.
You know, but yeah, but Jordan finally shows up and you guys are together. It's like, it's crazy how it makes so much sense now.
Mm-hmm. Seems obvious.
I mean, I'm in the same boat. I wasn't expecting it. There was kind of like some talk because Shannon and I, you know, clicked pretty immediately offset too. And he would kind of be like, wouldn't that be cool if like the two, like, you know, little lone children grew up and found each other? Yeah. And I was like, yeah, for sure. But like, I don't know, anything can happen on this show. I never expect anything. And yeah, I think it's brilliant. I love it.
Is Shannon really similar to his character? I feel like he is.
Kind of, actually.
Like, just so zenned out.
I was just going to use that word. Yeah, yeah. honestly, how can I describe him? In like the most honest way, he's just very like youthful, and he is curious, and he always like has his eyes wide open in wonder with who you are and what you have to say. And you feel like so accepted and loved when you're in his presence. Yeah, he's a really, really great person. Thank God, because it would suck to have an on-screen romance with an asshole.
I think he gets all that from Monty, probably.
Yeah, yeah, he gets
that. There we go. Yeah.
We love to hear that.
Oh, Monty.
Yeah.
Yeah, we love to hear.
Yeah, that was like one of the nicest compliments I've ever heard.
Right?
I mean, it's just like to say something like, you know, the curiosity and like looking at life with wonder. I think that's in general such like a nice attribute for a person to have. And then for me to say that about him it's just cool. Because I mean, that is kind of like Jordan.
Yeah,
true. Something it's just to like innocence. Not naivety, but like just in it, like purity. And of course, he's a person. He's not perfect. And now I'm talking about Jordan.
Shannon's made some mistakes, you know?
Yeah, his breath stinks. He's a bad kisser.
Oh, Jesus.
Wait, have they kissed? Have they kissed?
Come on. That's happening next episode.
Yeah, we're getting the kiss.
That is going to happen.
She's like, yeah, cute.
You two really teamed up. Like, I liked in the last episode that you call him out for being like, why are you so confident? Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. But in this next one, first of all, the trailer for the next episode made my heart like pound so my heartstrings were just, I was like, fuck.
Well, how do you guys feel? It's the series finale. Hell, you guys have been like hooked onto this forever. Like, it must be sort of.
I'm unwell.
Yeah. Killing us.
I'm so scarred from Game of Thrones that I'm just hoping to I just don't walk away from this anywhere. But I know it's not going to be that level, because I personally thought the last episode 15 was one of my favorites of the entire season. So we're already going on like a really good trajectory. So
yeah,
I don't know.
I think it's going to be cool. So I mean, I wasn't in the editing room. I don't know what it looks like, but being there, I think it's a great episode. I think it should leave people. It'll definitely leave people unsatisfied, but I hope it'll leave a lot of other people satisfied in the way that they need this thing to end.
The trailer, everybody. Yeah, the trailer was so awesome that we were even saying like they almost put too much stuff in it. Like this episode looks so insane that they almost might have gave
surprises.
Us too much.
Don't worry. Yeah.
I literally watched it one time on purpose. I was like, I'll just watch it one. I'm not going to keep watching this. I don't want to spoil it. I don't want anything to be too much. Yeah. I'm just going to.
I watched it three times in a row. My walk just in my feels. See, I'm the opposite of Luke, and I know you'll love it regardless, but I wouldn't ever really let a finale ruin a show for me. The 100 gripped me to my core, and I'm just like obsessive like that, so whatever. I was like Lexa for Halloween, which is why I joked that I would be Hope. Ooh. But I just like
tough act to follow.
Yo, it just makes me feel all the feels, and I'm like, I don't know how I would want it to end necessarily, so I'm like, whatever they write, I know they love it just as much as we do, and 20,000 times more, so you just gotta like
it.
You gotta trust.
And you know, you have the journey with it, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. it's no ending should ruin the experience that you had with something, whatever it ends up being. You know what I mean? Like it's it gave you something, and that should be. What you
yeah. Remember. Oh my gosh!
We're actually rewatching it right now, and the plan was to have our rewatch end when the finale came out.
Right.
So I'm in the middle of season 6. I'm probably not going to rewatch season 7.
Yeah, I'm not going to get there.
Close enough, but you're absolutely right. Like the journey of this show is incredible. This is like our podcast's first big show we're covering. So it's always going to have a special place in our heart. Mm-hmm. We've gotten to talk to so many of the cast. There's no way.
That's so cool. Ruined.
Yeah.
I know, right?
Yeah. It's been an unreal journey, honestly. Yeah. I mean, this was one of the first shows that we ever, like as a group collectively would, just like nerd out about all the time. Like even like, I guess season 5 for me, I think was when I first started watching it live. And that was cool. Cause it was like every week, like we're talking about it. Yeah. And then season 6 drops and it's every week we're talking about it.
That's fucking beautiful. And I hope you guys you guys probably have other shows that you do this with. Cause it's like just the idea of, I mean, first of all, it's the golden era of TV and there's so much good content out there. And if we can, you know, it should bring us together. And if you can actually have an outlet like you guys have, you are buddies and you communicate about something that you're passionate about and then get people like me and the other cast on, like that's dope. That's seriously like kudos to you guys.
That's been without a doubt for us.
Yeah.
I did not expect any of that. And then we're here, we're talking to Sach and Sahil, we're talking to Jason Diaz, we're talking to you. It's been amazing. Like I couldn't ask for anything better. This show will forever be like on my list of favorites.
We freak out about it like every day.
Yeah.
Even before this, I was like,
yeah, I mean, they're ripping shots. We usually rip shots before interviews. Like,
I mean, this is whiskey. So.
I mean, the coolest part, too, is hearing, you know, whether it's you, Sachin, how everybody in the cast or most in the cast really love each other. Mm-hmm. They love working with each other. Everyone has nothing but good things to say. It's just great to hear from one of our favorite shows.
Yeah.
And there's like endless things that I could say. There's so many stories and there's so many like insights into just my experience. And obviously my experience wouldn't have been what it is without the people and the way that they just, I don't know, took me into their arms. And I'm not trying to sound all cheesy, but it's just, that's true. That's how I felt. And as a first goer at the TV world, I could not be more lucky. Like it, because I'm sure some sets are not that kind of a vibe. I mean, Sachin, for example, was one of the first, he reached out to me once he knew I was back in Vancouver for season 7. And I obviously didn't know him at this point. And just asked me to get coffee and just gave me the lay down and just made me feel like so, I don't know, just comfortable at ease, you know, because obviously someone's going to be hella nervous doing this kind of thing for the first time. And he knew that and he anticipated that and didn't want me to get in my own head as much as I could. So
it's incredible. He put it very well. He was like, I'll do more shows and whatever, but this will always be like my college or something like that.
My where college
he was like,
years,
college
yeah.
years yeah. where he'll never yeah. forget. It's going to be the best years of his life. Like,
I mean, these people grew up like they were like early 20s when they started and now they're in their mid, like that blows my mind. They must be really ready for it to end.
Speaking of that, I'm really crossing my fingers that, as everyone keeps saying, like this that the group that makes the 100 is such a good group together that we are praying for the prequel so we can keep everyone together. I know we won't get all of our main characters, but I don't know, we can get a couple of them in there. Like Dioza was alive at that point.
Yeah,
right? There's a couple of them.
True.
We just want this group together so we can keep following the show and the lore.
Yeah,
it's all great.
Yeah, the legacy for sure. I don't know which way. I don't know anything at this point of whether or not it'll get picked up, but I hope along with you guys that it does.
Mm-hmm. We keep saying there's no way that it can't. Come on. It's a building fan base. You gotta just go for it.
Exactly. I don't know why they wouldn't, but TV's weird. It's random.
Yeah. The backdoor pilot this season was amazing too.
Oh yeah, big time.
I thought so too. That was fun because we were kind of cross-pollinating a little bit when they were filming that. We were doing some reshoots and stuff and we were still filming some of our episodes and got to meet some of that cast. And one of the girls, she plays the main chick.
Callie.
Callie, she's from London and I went to school there, so we had some relations there, so that was cool.
Oh, that's great.
If only Hope wasn't born a million years after.
If only.
Well, speaking of, like, you said you have, like, a lot of stories. Do you have one specific memory or day on set that is the end-all, be-all, like, the most memorable?
The most memorable things to me are really the ones where the elements are, like, not on your side. Or when we were in the mountains, we would go to this island and be basically, like, what you see on, like, we're swimming, we're getting wet, like, we're freezing, and we're just dead ass cold, and they're spraying us down in between takes with more water, and all you can do is just shiver, laugh, and like try and make each other happy, you know, and like people are coming and giving you like coats and soups and hot drinks, and I don't know, there's something about that that I just really love, is because like when it was the hardest and when things were, let's say, like really early in the morning or whatever, you could really see the cast and the crew just kind of become this machine, and just to help each other out and make it run as smoothly as possible. So I don't necessarily have one thing in my mind, but those things stand out as just, at least where I grew the most, because I learned what it means to be an ensemble, you know, with more than just an acting company, but with a whole crew.
Well, that'll bond you, just like miserable.
Yeah.
Like,
misery. Yeah.
Yeah. Misery loves company.
Yeah, exactly. Like the quick changes, we'd have to go into those fucking Bardoan suits. That, you know, at the end when we ditch Orlando, so cold, and they're turning around. We don't have much time. We had to get into those suits out of our regular. Oh, and we're in this tent with a heater. And I mean, there's just like tears coming down my face. Like, I'm just like,
they're freezing halfway down.
Yeah, I'm like, I swear I'm not like crying, but they're just coming out. Like, my body's just going into shock. Like, but your adrenaline kicks in and it becomes like one of the best memories for some reason, because you're just like on a high, you know?
I'm dying to get to Vancouver.
Yeah,
all my shows, beautiful. All my CW shows.
Every person we've talked to has said that Vancouver's the best. Like, the, you guys are all preaching Canada. We're going to make a trip out there one of these
days. I had no idea, because I'm American, right? And like, never had been there. It's like the jungle, the ocean, mountains. Like, you have everything. The food there, oh my God. They have such good food. Oh. The sushi, you guys.
Shit. I'm gonna go back.
I want that.
Who doesn't want sushi?
We'll get sushi when you come to Philly. Because it's not as good as Vancouver, I'm sure.
Philly sushi. The Philadelphia roll.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, Shelby. So what we like to do with the people we talk to that actually watch the show, just run you through a couple of rapid fire questions, get your quick takes as a fan of what you like and don't like about the show. And if you're ready, if that's okay with you, there's only like 5 or 6 of them.
I do not object.
Okay, cool. So what is your favorite season of the show?
I like season 2 a lot. I like the Mount Weather stuff. And because I really like Maya and Jasper, their whole arc.
Nice. That's my same exact answer. Love Mount Weather.
Oh, nice.
What is your favorite episode? Do you have a specific? Ooh. Does that have to be in any season?
There's this one episode, I can't remember what it's called, or even which episode it was, but where Bellamy like breaks into the Mount Weather, and then Jasper kind of leads the brigade. I don't know if it's my favorite, it's just one that sticks out in my mind. Like the Mount Weather cronies come through and they like throw that whole like red you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, they put in the bucket to stop the gas, and they all jump up and
and like blood must have blood. That's
oh
great.
Yeah, they do that in the trailer when Shane Hated says "Just Jane, Just Down" in the trailer. I was like, let's fucking go! Like, oh my God, I was amped up.
So full circle.
So, who's your favorite character, dead or alive? Doesn't matter.
This is kind of a rogue one, but Maya.
Wow, that is a rogue one. Yeah. Can you say why?
I don't know. There was just something about her that I found so endearing and real and heartbreaking. Yeah, I don't know if she was just a magnet to me. And then obviously Murphy, like, not I guess, not obviously.
That's our answer.
But I just,
it is obviously.
We're all
<obviously.
laughs>
to be trite, yeah.
Yeah. You must have been hype in the season 6 episode in like Clark's mind space when they bring Maya back then. That's pretty dope.
Yeah. Seriously, I just also think she's a great actress, Eve Harlow. She's just fantastic.
Devastating end, truly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, she sacrificed for the squad, so it worked out.
Typical.
Just one of many on the show.
Yeah.
So speaking of performance, though, who would you say your favorite acting performance would be? And if it is Maya, who's your second favorite?
That is such a mean question.
We always say, we always think, we ask them, we're like, it's kind of mean, yeah, whatever.
No, it's just,
no.
I mean, I genuinely, like, I think everyone has had their moment in the sun. But the easiest thing for me to answer is because I've seen, like, so often I would go, even when I wasn't working or getting paid, I go and just watch. And watching JR's arc and him turn into straight, like, I wasn't a huge fan of Russell. Not that his acting, I just was like, oh, okay. But Shade Hedda, like, JR doing that is out of this world. And watching it in person was shattering. Like,
are you sure you don't listen to our podcast?
Yeah. Because that is our answer as well.
Are you guys big fans, really?
Oh, we're huge JR porn fans. Yep.
We asked every single person we've talked to about what their interaction with JR Bourne was like, and all of them just...
Such an Sarah Thompson.
I hope he never listens to these, because he goes, yeah, won't handle it. No. He has no ego. He's a lovely person.
Your compliment for Shannon was only topped by Sarah Thompson, who played Josephine, her compliment about J.R. Bourne.
Yeah.
She was throwing out words like unicorn, oh, yeah, and all this stuff. I was just like,
unicorn.
Yeah.
I'm sure I would second all of it.
Well, I think we would agree, though. Like, Russell, he was great as Russell, but him as Shane Hayda, for sure.
Unbelievable.
Like, he just came alive. Mm. Like, I wasn't expecting, he came alive. It's really cool.
I mean, it's literally very similar to you as Hope, because, I mean, he was around season 6 as Russell, but Shade Hayda was, you as Hope didn't exist, but him as, like, Shade Hayda existed, and not many people actually liked Shade Hayda.
Hated it even.
Like, yeah, they didn't, just because it wasn't very, what you call it, like, the vanilla villain, like, it wasn't really too much into it at first, before...
Not super memorable.
Right, mm-hmm. Before J.R. Bourne takes over, and then when he takes over, we love Shade Hayda.
Yeah.
I mean, we said it a million times, our preview said, we hope that Shade Hayda isn't a big part of season 7, because we just didn't think it should be, because it wasn't... Mm. Really memorable, like you said, in season 6. But then J.R. Bourne takes over, and now we're happy he's still alive.
Thought it was my favorite arc.
He can die now.
Yeah, he's ready. He, it's time. Now. Yeah,
that was one of our rare misses.
One more episode.
All right, I got two more for you. So, who is your favorite villain of the series?
Oh my god, that's really hard. I mean, we've been literally just talking about it. So, like, J.R. or not J.R. Shade Hedda, but I feel like there's got to be more. You know who was a villain in the beginning, which we may have forgotten, was Kane.
And yeah,
he was.
He became one of the most lovable, like, mm-hmm, soon after. And so, and that was another arc where you couldn't help but just get attached to. So I guess he'd probably be.
That's a good answer. We've heard even Pike as an answer. Mm-hmm. We've heard everyone.
Oh, yeah,
over the
Pike.
Board. Yeah. Pike was Pike
great. Kane's a great answer, really, though. Good. I've never heard that. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pike is good, too. Yeah.
And my last question for you, great, I like asking this one, is if you could ship two characters that we have not seen, you know, purposely be put together on screen, who would you pick?
I want to hear all of your answers. But,
oh, God.
What is mine?
I personally would pick Raven and Gabriel. I love those two. Mm. Those two are a power couple.
I can actually really see that.
Yeah.
I don't want to.
That's amazing.
I'm like, for some reason, I wanted to, like, pair Murphy with someone, but Murphy and Amor, we don't need to touch that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, don't you dare.
Clark and oh my god, Clark and Josephine. I want to see them get it on.
That would be sweet. That'd be sweet.
I'm in on that. So Clark and Gaia was something I thought was going to be a thing, only because I love Gaia, and I really thought, I mean, we always just joke.
I feel like that must be a thing. Like,
yes, that's a canon.
It must be a thing.
Yeah, exactly. And she must have just been doing Chilling Adventures of Sabrina and had to go for 12 fucking episodes. But I was, like, really rooting for that. But we'll get to it. But there's this trailer after the 5 years on Bardo. We were like, Echo and Hope. Yeah. Like, yes, like, fuck yeah. Like, we really, there was just a scene, like a trailer
where you guys are
just like
departing.
Face to face, like looking at each other. And we were
and
like,
hug. Yeah. And you're departing like, and you yeah. hug, like, yeah. And it's just a quick clip. And we're like, I mean, you could see it after 5 years together, yeah. you know? So that's where we're
I mean, who's to say? Right? Yeah. Like, yeah. we don't know what a relationship means. Like, I mean, just, you know, there's platonic, there's whatever, there's the whole shade of the rainbow. Like, I'm sure they had something.
I just like, part of the best, the thing about the show is that you can ship literally anybody because genders aren't a thing and nobody comments on it and it's fucking awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, kind of before that was trendy, you know, like it was
exactly
it was just the social conscience of the show
exactly.
since day one.
You got an answer?
You'd hope so. I mean, it takes place in, you know, 2050, I guess, is when the nuclear war happens, and then we're 100 years past that, and now we're 300 years past that. Yeah, hopefully, yeah, right. Fingers crossed. Yeah, no, this should matter.
Jeez. Oh my god, yeah, if we make it that long.
Okay, speaking of shipping, we always do this at the end of the episode. Bang, kill, marry.
Oh yes, well, she has listened to
all right, let's hear it,
so
let's hear
knows.
It
I don't know if you listened to the end of Sachin's episode, but we did the three different echoes and it was hilarious.
Like
well, it was funny just because at first he's like, oh, we were like, you don't have to do it if you don't want. He's like, oh, I'm not sure, we'll see.
I can see that making him very uncomfortable.
Yeah, yeah.
But
he's
since
like,
we picked three of the same, it was kind of
and
easy.
Then we picked three echoes. He's like, oh, all right, I'm in.
He's like, I'm killing Mario. Like right away.
Obviously.
Yeah, literally. Okay, so the three we have here are for Hope, but you're answering as Shelby.
I'm so nervous.
Okay, it's Gabriel, Jordan, and Echo.
Gabriel, Jordan, and Echo. Okay. Wait, am I doing this as Shelby? Did you just say that?
As Shelby, yeah. Shelby. Or, yeah, I mean, you could do it as
no,
way.
I'm not doing
yeah.
it as Hope. Okay. I'll leave the audience decide what Hope would do.
Okay, cool.
Mary, Jordan. Oh, this is so sad. I don't want to kill anyone, but I guess I would kill Gabriel. Oh, yeah. Bless
oh.
I'm so sorry.
That is so not what I thought you were going to say.
Hi, everybody. Hello. Right in time for the bang, kill, marry. That's perfect.
Yeah, and bang echo.
Yeah. Nice.
She can't hear you because I have headphones in. But
okay.
I'm so
good.
Sorry, Gabriel. That was hard. Can we just live in a community and all get along?
Right,
yes,
right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was hard for you. We've been doing what? We've done 15 of them.
Literally, we do it at the end of every episode, and we always say, we don't want to kill anyone. Yeah.
Well, the best is when we go, we couldn't kill them if we tried.
Yeah, like, right.
Yeah. Like, I was getting some shade thrown at me for, what, two episodes ago, because I said I would kill Dioza, and everyone was like, good fucking luck.
Yeah. Good luck.
Yeah,
she, like, gouged someone's eyeball out.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then just leave it on the floor, dude.
I know.
Bring it with you.
Yeah.
Bring the
that whole
with
montage with her in the beginning of that episode was one of my favorite moments.
Oh yeah,
so.
And that's what Jason tweeted, which put us on higher.
Hey mom, it was before can you episode. Be quiet for a second? Sorry, guys. What'd you say?
No, I was saying what Jason actually tweeted himself was that 5 minute montage of Dioza for that episode was one of his favorite things he's ever done as a writer.
Oh really? Yeah. Oh really?
So that put us on high alert before the episode even came out. And we were just
well, she just fell into that. Like her character ran, you know, like you could just see like full force Dioza in that.
Yeah.
She's like spoon, eyeball, fucking like amazing.
She was
fucking
killing
ridiculous.
It. Well, I mean, you, Dioza, and Octavia were like, you know, kicking ass. Well, I guess you were young on Penance, but, you know, ass kickers from Penance. And then you added Echo to your squad. And then, you know, when you guys were all on Bardo together, it was like, well, these four chicks, like we reference you guys as Levitt's Angels, but yeah. You guys were just like rolling through the compound, that. Just kicking butt. Yeah. What was it like?
Levitt's Angels
did you
was great.
Do a ton of the fighting stunts or was that more like someone else doing them for you?
Both. Like they have doubles no matter what, like even if it's not even a big fight and you just it's something physical that you know they're liable for, they will have a double. But you as an actor, you know, you kind of take your own sovereignty and say, no, I can do this, and do your best. And most actors are the same way, where they want to do their own stunts to the extent that they can and are allowed. And then they always just film the doubles doing it. And for editing's sake, if you kind of look like a dummy, they'll put you in the first movie. But no, most of it was I assume it was me, which is definitely one of the scariest things in the beginning. I was like, how the hell? Like watching it, I'm just like, oh God. Like,
you guys look so cool. Interesting. I'm like such a fangirl. I'm like, you guys are fucking cool. I'm gonna be friends with
We
people.
Are, aren't we?
Hell yeah. So we talked a lot about the show. So what's next for Shelby? What do you
we'll
got?
See.
Yeah?
We'll see.
What do you want to do?
Well, so, you know, quarantine or the pandemic has really put a halt to everything. The industry is pretty slow. Stuff is starting to happen and has been happening at a smaller scale. So, you know, like I told you earlier, I'm moving to New York and I hope to do theater and I hope to keep doing film and TV. I'm greedy. I want to do it all.
Do it.
But yeah, we'll see. I want to do it all, really. If it's good writing and good people, obviously, I'm so game and down for it. I want to
writing. That's what I care about, too.
Yeah, right. So does every actor. It makes your job tenfold easier.
Oh, well, this was fucking awesome. Do you have anything you want
to
say?
No, I could talk to you guys all night.
I know. Let's do it.
Anything to say to the world?
Yeah, the world.
Woo! Vote.
I knew you were going to say that.
I was following you on Instagram. Is that why?
Yeah, I was just going to say before I wanted to make sure that I commended you on your voter outreach.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I mean, all of a sudden I have 50,000 followers out of nowhere. So I feel a sense of, I don't know, responsibility, but just an urge to use it for something that I think is so pressing in today. It's definitely one of the, maybe the most important election of American history.
Hell yeah.
And we need to use a direct action, and voting is one way to do it, but not the only way. Like, if anyone's listening and maybe can't vote or doesn't feel like their vote counts, vote anyways, but put your energy towards other ways of direct action, like protesting, grassroots, sending money, conversation, you know, and just educating yourself, watching documentaries. All of these things are important, and to keep the consciousness to a level where we can continue the good fight.
Yeah, doesn't really mean much coming from a random 24-year-old from South Carolina, but I think you're doing great.
Yeah.
Thank you. And it does mean something. It does, Kyle.
And another thing I want to mention, speaking of following on Instagram, is I saw you posted that video of that older Latino man, my mustachioed brother, on the skateboard with the cranberry juice.
Oh my God, what a pure soul.
Oh, it's the best. I watch that video every day.
Me too. I save it to my phone, and just like every time I wake up in the morning, I should watch that.
Start the day off right. They sent me the link to the Zoom call, and when I entered, I had my phone playing Dreams and was like dancing around. I love that video.
I'm so glad you mentioned that.
I had to.
Well, I, like I said, love Hope a lot. And sometimes I'm like, get nervous for these things, but you are so much cooler and more thoughtful than I could ever have imagined. So thank you for coming on.
Thanks.
You are amazing.
Thank you for having me.
As we've been saying, like, it's always like unbelievable that we get to talk to anybody on our favorite TV show, and you coming on, just spending this time with us, giving us amazing answers. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Yeah. And it really is something for me too. Like, it's, I get a lot from meeting you guys and doing this kind of thing. So thanks for inviting me on, and maybe we can do it again.
Woo.
We'd love to.
Definitely.
See you in Philly.
Yeah, safe travels when you move.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Good luck with all that.
Thank you.
Do I just hang up now?
If you want.
All right. Yeah, if you have to.
All right. Enjoy the finale. Take care.
Yeah, maybe we meet again.
Aw, that was cute.
We cute. All right, bye.
See ya. Yeah.
Shelby Flannery, everyone. If you like what you heard, give Bingetown TV a follow on Twitter and Instagram, and subscribe to our show on Spotify and the Apple Podcast app. Tune in to the next episode for the series finale and our final Bingetown thoughts. Thanks for listening, and have the best day ever. Peace.
We love you guys.
Love ya.
I was going to sing some Fleetwood Mac at the end, but I decided not to. You want your freedom. Oh. But who am I?